As we stand, we want to honor God's Word for it to be truth. And Tanner, you just keep playing as we read God's Word. You can put it on the screen there, Tanner. Our text this morning is from Psalms 150. And we give it attention this morning. We give it reverence this morning. And the Bible says this, Psalms 150, praise the Lord. Can everybody just say praise the Lord this morning? Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. Praise Him with trumpet blast. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with flute and strings. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Now let's read this part together, can we, church? Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for the Word this morning. May You bless it. And God, we pray today for someone that doesn't know Jesus. God, that they would come to use their breath this morning to praise You for who You are. So Lord, open up our hearts. Teach us in Your Bible. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give God a praise clap for how good He is this morning. Amen. God bless you as we worship together. You know, we often, me and Taryn often joke around that it seems like from the holiday spectrum, you go from Halloween straight into Christmas. That you have scary stuff, and the next day you have Santa Claus stuff. And what's kind of nuts about that is that there really is, whether you acknowledge it or not, another holiday right in between those two. And it's not just Turkey Day. It's not just go to Grandma's house and get full day. We call that holiday what? Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving does not need to be forgotten because it goes back to us thanking God for what He's done for us as a nation and what He's done for us as a people. Thanksgiving is a Christian holiday. It's specific to the United States, actually. And I want us over the next few weeks to be thankful, church, to learn how to be a thankful people. We have a lot to be thankful for here at this church. In the last year, we've seen many people give their life to Christ and be baptized. We've seen God provide this facility for us. We've seen God just do great works in the life of our church and with us chartering. And guys, we have a lot to be thankful for as a church this morning. A lot to be thankful for. And if you were to pause and think about a few other things, you have a lot to be thankful for in your own life this morning. If you're thankful for your children, you're thankful for your spouse, you're thankful for your relatives, you're thankful for your health this morning. There's a lot of things to praise God for. So over the next couple of weeks leading into Thanksgiving, we're going to talk about praise and worship. Because in essence, that's what Thanksgiving is giving praise to God. So we have appropriately titled this sermon series. So Tanner, here we go. We have appropriately titled it, are you ready? You ready? Get your praise on. All right? Get your praise on. And we're going to learn over the next few weeks what it means to get your praise on. All right? And you got to say your praise, don't you? That's just the way you got to do it. Get your praise on. And we're going to learn over the next few weeks some reasons why we have to be thankful. In the book of Psalms, we just read it, 150. It's the last psalm in the Bible, the last one. And it kind of wraps up the whole book. And actually, it's the fifth psalm of the last five psalms that are called the Hallelujah Psalms. And what they are, they're praising God. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. That's what that word means. Hallah in Hebrew means praise. And Yah is a shortened version of Yahweh. So it means praise Yahweh or praise the Lord. So when you look at Psalms 150, it tells us to praise God. To praise the Lord. And it goes through this whole list of how we need to praise God. Now, I was thinking about as I was working on this sermon about the many times that I've sung the praise of something that I didn't need to sing the praise of. I remember when I was in college, I was so happy to get out of the dormitory. I was so happy my senior year. I could finally move off campus and no longer would I smell just the body odor lingering in the air, you know. I would no longer have to check in at a certain time. And I sung the praise of the first house that I rented. Mark was one of my roommates back there. And we sung the praise for how awesome that house was until I got married. And then me and Taryn sung the praise of this little farmhouse, this two-bedroom farmhouse that we rented. And then we sung the praise of the house in Beaver Dam that we rented. And we sung the praise for the first house that we moved into in Hartford. And then it just seems like, you know, the luster was there. We were happy and we talked all about it. And then the next big thing came along and we forgot about how thankful we were for that little thing. And then we moved on. I'm also guilty of cell phones, doing that with cell phones. Anybody remember the blue Mama Jamma Nokia that played Snake? Do you guys remember that one? I remember when I got my first Nokia, my first cell phone. I thought, this is the coolest thing. I can play Snake on this thing. It is the coolest thing. And I sung the praise of a Nokia. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that's the only phone you can throw up against the wall and run over it with a tractor and it would still work, you know? And then what happened? The flip phones came along and I sung the praise of the flip phone. And then it was what? The iPhone 3, right? And I sung the praise. And then when iPhone 4 came out, I thought, man, the iPhone 3 is garbage, you know? So I've got to move on to the iPhone 4. And then it was 4S. And then it was 5. And I think Apple is tricking us all. Don't you think they're doing that? But here's the deal. All those things that I was so excited about, I was so just saying, oh, you got to get this kind of phone. Or you got to see our new house that we're living in. It's like when the next better thing came along, it lost the luster. And it's true, things in life change. Things that we're really excited about, that we sing praises over and say, this is the best thing since apple pie, loses its luster. It loses its shine, so to speak. And it's so funny how quick we are to sing the praises of how cool the new phone is, or how awesome my new car is, or how awesome my new house is, or whatever. And then just in a few weeks, a few months, sometimes it's a few days, isn't it? It's old. The end. You know, it's funny how we sing praises for things that really don't matter. And how we talk things up for stuff that really doesn't matter. But when we come to praising God, can I tell you something that's wonderful about God? God never changes. And he's so wonderful and he's so big and he's so mighty that he will never get old to us. There's always something to learn about the Godhead. There's always something to learn about his spirit that he's teaching us and that he's speaking into us. So we sing the praises of God every day because, as Lamentations says, his mercies are new every morning, every day. God has something new for us. And what's great about God is that we can never, ever, 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 ever get tired of praising him. If we were to define praise this morning, we would simply define it like this. Praise is the natural response of believers to God. That's what happens. When you believe in Jesus and you believe in God, and you come in contact with God and you encounter the Lord, you can't walk away unfazed. You can't walk away without being thankful for how awesome God is. You can't walk away without saying how beautiful and majestic he is. You think about the Old Testament characters. Moses, he stands before the burning bush and he has to take off his sandals. When he's free, when he frees the Israelites from the bondage of Pharaoh, they sing a song. You read that in Exodus. The very first thing they do when they cross the Red Seas, they sing a song. You think about David when he's there and the Ark of the Covenant is brought back into Jerusalem. And what does he do? He dances and praises the Lord. David must have not been a Baptist. Amen. You know, he got his praise on and he celebrated God. He celebrated the Lord. And we see that the natural response of when people encounter God is that they can't walk away without saying how good he is and how grateful they are that God is alive and that Jesus is alive and what Christ has done in their lives. But sadly, sometimes the only time that we ever praise God is when we treat God like a genie. We say, God, I'm in trouble, and I need you to help me. So God, give me this, whatever it is. Give me this. So the only time we pray is when we need something. We're treating them like a genie. God, give me, give me, give me. And then he gives it to us, and we say, oh, thank you, God, for that. And we don't communicate to God or praise God anymore until the next problem comes. And the cycle repeats itself. Oh, God, you've got to show up. God, I need you. God, help me. Then he delivers. Thank you, God. And we forget it. But I'm telling you that the praising of the Lord has to be more than that. It's got to be more than treating God like some sort of vending machine. Instead, it's treating God with the reverence and the respect he's due. Y'all with me today, church? That we love God and that we're changed by God, that we repent of sin, that we surrender our hearts to God, and when we wake up, we're involved with a living God in a relationship with Jesus Christ, where we discover who he is and we learn to praise God, not just on Sunday morning, but Monday morning. Not just in the church service, but in the workforce as well. That we learn to praise the Lord no matter what's going on in our lives. That we know that God is unchanging and that he's always got something to teach us. He's always got something for us to learn. And we need to stand before him, celebrating him for how awesome and powerful he really is. See, we need to understand that praise is more than just the music. And don't you appreciate our praise band for a good job that they do? But it's got to go beyond that, though. It's got to move beyond just the music into your life, where you're praising God on a daily basis. And here's the deal. Whether you feel like praising God or whether you don't feel like praising God. Because though emotions change and stuff changes, God does not change. So are you today willing to live a lifestyle of praise? I think Psalms 150 really teaches us the basics of praise and worship. It teaches us the basics of praise. So let's learn today about how to be thankful to God through praise and worship. Let's learn the basics. Okay, you ready? First, we need to learn today the where of praise. Where is God praised at? Where is the Lord to be praised? The Bible says in Psalms 151, you can look there in your notes in your Bible, it says, hallelujah, praise God in his sanctuary and praise God in his mighty heaven. Now notice that there are two places where God is praised, in the sanctuary and in the mighty heaven. Now, for the Jew who was reading this, they would have immediately thought of what? The temple. That's what they would have thought about. They would have went in, they would have offered their sacrifices, and they would have worshiped God in the temple. When they heard the mighty heavens, they would have thought of the angels, the cherubim, the seraphim, and they would have pictured in their minds with those beings bowing down to God in heaven. Likewise today, God is still worshiped in the sanctuary. And God is still worshiped in the heaven. Now, we don't have a temple like they did in the old days. We don't need a temple. Did you know that? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross, giving us access to God the Father. He died. We don't need a priest anymore to take us to God. Jesus takes us to God. Likewise, the Bible tells us that now our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes that you are a temple. So guess what? The Bible teaches you that you are to praise God with your body. You're to praise him here on earth. You're to praise him in your life, in your temple today. You are to praise the Lord. Likewise, I believe that means also that we gather together as a church. Lots of temples today that come together and praise God. That's why worship, the song part of the service, is very, very important. It's not just a show or a concert. It's an important part where we gather together to sing. Somebody may say, well, Kenny, you know, my neighbor, if they heard me sing during church, man, they'd get up and leave. Well, that's all right. That's okay. Let them. Amen. You know, but here's your deal. You just got to get your praise on. All right. You got to get your praise on. Doesn't matter how you sing. Now, who today is thankful that the Bible says make a joyful noise to God? Yeah. Yeah. There's a reason I sit on the front row, because I don't want you all to be tuning me out when I get up to preach, all right? You make a joyful noise. So we sing God with our temples. We sing them together as a church. We worship God. We lift up praise to His name. But second, I want you to see this, that God is still worshiped in heaven. You know what's great? Not only do the angels worship God, but there are people today in heaven that have given their lives to Christ on earth, trusted in Jesus, and they stand before God the Father, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and they are singing praises to God. Praises to God for their salvation and their spot in heaven. That's happening right now. And by the way, the Bible says that when somebody gives their heart to the Lord, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. There's rejoicing that the saved, those that know Christ, celebrate and praise God when somebody gives their life to Jesus. So the where of praise is this. Are you ready? You need to praise God wherever you are. Wherever you are. It's that simple. Yes, we praise God together as a church. You don't need to take that part out. The gathering together. That's very, very important. But yet, we learn to praise God on a daily basis. Do you have a place of praise? Are you waking up in the mornings, spending some time with God, getting a cup of coffee, getting your Bible out, getting on your knees, praising the Lord for a new day? There's an old hymn that says this, it's amazing what praising can do. Hallelujah. If we began to adjust our days to where the very first thing we did was drop to our knees and thank God for another day, it might change our whole outlook on a lot of stuff. You think so? If we learn to be thankful and to praise Him first thing. So where is your place of praise? I hope it's life community, but I hope it's more than life community. I hope you got a place at your work, a place at your desk, a place in your house where you offer praise to the Lord. So we have the where of praise. Okay, so what is the what of praise? You got the where of praise and the what of praise. So what is the what of praise? You ready? It tells us this in verse 2. The psalm writer sings, praise Him. Look what he says, for His powerful acts. Praise Him for His abundant greatness. Two things, His powerful acts and His abundant greatness. We thank God for what He's done, and we thank God for who He is. That's what that means. You thank God for what He's done and who He is. You can't forget that part. So we think about all the things that God's done. To the Israelites, reading this, they would have thanked God for delivery from Egypt. They would have thanked God for the king. They would have thanked God for the sacrifices. Today we thank God for lots of things. You know what the greatest thing ever done, the greatest work ever done that I thank God for today is when He sent Jesus to die for us on the cross. Greatest thing. And 3 days later, great thing. You ready? He rose from the dead. And we praise God for that, that He is alive today. And because He is alive, we too can live. But then I think about His greatness. This morning I read in Revelation, I wanted to remind myself. And I remember when John sees Jesus for the very first time. And the resurrected Jesus in Revelation 1 is so different than the Jesus you read about in the Gospels. Because He's got a glowing head, fiery eyes, bronze feet. He's great. He's great. Speaks and a sword comes out of His mouth. Holding stuff in His hands. I mean, big deal. And what we see is that when you're in the presence of Jesus, He never loses His shine. He never loses His power. Today we praise the Lord. We praise Jesus because He's resurrected. Because He's alive. He's great. You ready? One day, it will return. And nothing will stop that. Nothing will stop that. He'll return, no empire, no kingdom, no government will stop His return for His church. That's how great He is. And He'll never lose that greatness. He'll never lose that power. So today we praise the Lord for what He's done and for who He is. So I ask you this, are you willing just to open your eyes to see how good He is and what He's done? Many of us need to do that. We just need to take a pause and a break and remember what He's done for us. I was 7 years old when Christ came into my life, and I praise Him for that. Do you remember when He came into your heart? Do you remember the blessings that He's given you or the things that He's done, what He's told you, what He spoke to you in your life? Praise Him for that. Don't forget how good He's been to you this morning. Don't forget that. Praise Him for who He is and what He's done. Third, I want you to see this. You got the where of praise, the what of praise, and you're ready for the how of praise. Y'all are so smart this morning, aren't you? The how of praise. Now listen to this. The Bible tells us, praise Him with trumpet blast, praise Him with harp and lyre, praise Him with tambourine and dance, praise Him with flute and strings, praise Him with resounding cymbals, praise Him with clashing cymbals. So here's what I learned about Old Testament praise and worship. They got the praise on, all right? They got it on. They had three types of instruments listed. They had wind instruments. They had stringed instruments. They had percussion instruments. Right there in that list. String, wind, and percussion. Now, I heard a story about a lady who said, "Preacher, I don't believe we should have stringed instruments in the church," referring to the guitar. "I don't believe we should have stringed instruments in the church." And the pastor said, "Well, let me show you something." He walked over to the piano, opened up the lid. He said, "Those are a lot of strings, aren't they? Lots of strings, aren't they?" We praise the Lord with whatever we have. Now, understanding that, I want the band to come up here and do something real quick. All right? Y'all come on. Y'all come on. They know what they're going to do. The Bible tells us that we are to take whatever we have and to praise God for with it. So the Lord wants us to praise Him in music and in song with instruments and to praise Him, all right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get our praise on. Amen? We're getting it on, aren't we? Yeah. There we go. All right. Here we go. All right. Daniel, praise the Lord with the guitar this morning. Praise Him with it this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Charlie, praise the Lord with the bass guitar this morning. And the church says, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Bruce, get your praise on, all right? And the church says, hallelujah. Michael, Mark, get your praise on, all right? Praise them with the guitars this morning. Church says, hallelujah. Tarrant, praise the Lord, not with the string keys, but the digital keys this morning. Praise the Lord this morning. And the church says, hallelujah. And what's great is when you put it all together, when you put all the little gifts that God's given us together, it sounds like this. Church says, hallelujah. Yeah, let's hear it for them this morning. Here's what we know. Whatever you have, you praise God with it. Now, some of you are saying, well, Kenny, I don't have an instrument. Well, that's okay. You got something to praise God with. You know, we illustrated this because the Bible told us to praise God with this stuff this morning. But here's the deal. Maybe you don't know how to play an instrument, but you know how to teach a class. Praise God with that. Maybe today you don't know how to teach a class, but you know what? You know how to draw or paint. Praise God with that. Maybe today you don't know how to do any of that, but you know how to work with finances and to help people get on a budget and to help them put their finances in order. You know what? Praise God with that. Whatever you have, whatever's in your disposal, whatever God has gifted you with, praise Him for that. And when you put it all together, what we can do, all the many gifts that we have and all the great things that God has given us, you know what happens? Beautiful praise and worship goes up to God, doesn't it? When it all is in harmony, when it all is together, God does a great work with that. So understand, it doesn't just mean instruments. However you need to praise God, however gift or role that you're in. And then finally, there is the who of praise. The who. The Bible says, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Now you know what? Jesus said that even if they didn't cry out and praise Him, the rocks would have praised Him. Rocks don't have breath. Did you know that? They're rocks. But here's what I know, is that if you got breath in your lungs today, you are invited to praise the Lord. You are invited to praise Him. Sadly, some people will never praise God on this side of earth, but they will have to kneel before the Lord and confess Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. You either do it now or you do it then on the way into an eternity without Him. But you're invited this morning. Let everything that has breath, let them. You're allowed this morning to praise God. You're allowed to let the Lord be praised with whatever you have today. But sadly, many of us don't have breath. Kenny, what are you talking about? Well, the Holy Spirit is ultimately the breath of God, the wind of God. And the last time I read the Bible, you can't have the Holy Spirit in your life unless you first invite Christ into your heart. Today, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you have no breath in your lungs. You tried lots of things to encounter life, to experience life, only for it to end up empty. Why is that? Because you don't have breath in your spirit. You don't have breath in your heart. You don't have salvation, the blood of Jesus in you, in your veins. Nobody today can really live until they know Jesus. Somebody said, well, you Christians don't have any fun. Man, you ain't hanging around the right Christians, amen? Our director of missions is here today. You hang around him for a little bit, you'll have fun, won't you, Jerry? You know? Why? Because Jesus doesn't take away life. He gives life. He gives breath in our lungs. And today, if you don't know the Lord, you're not breathing today. Your life is stale. You need Jesus in your heart. You hear us talking about praising God and lifting it up. The reason that that seems so foreign to you, so far from you, is because Christ isn't in your heart today. And you need to open up your heart and allow Jesus to save you. Believe and confess that He is the Lord, that He died and rose again. A personal decision to give your heart and soul to Jesus. And there are some Christians today that have the breath of the Lord in their life. But you know, it's almost like you're running out of breath. You've exhausted your breath on so much stuff. You've run rugged. Your attention's been divided. Your focus has been shattered. Everything's important except for your walk with God. And now you feel that you're far from God. You've backslid from God. And it's almost like as a Christian, you're trying to catch that breath again. The breath's never left you. It's never left you. But it might just be time to stop what you're doing and to get your priorities back in line. Amen. Your focus back on God. And to let the breath of Jesus fill your lungs. And when you have the breath of God in your life, you'll know how to praise. You'll know how to be thankful for all the things God has given you. Today, are you praising God? Are you praising the Lord? for who He is, what He's done in your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Taryn will begin to play softly this morning. If today you've never given your heart to Jesus, we invite you today to give your life to Christ. It's not rocket science. It's not complex. Jesus did the hard stuff. He died on the cross for our sins. Today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you can invite Christ into your heart right now. It's a simple prayer. Pray it with me if you've never invited Christ into your heart. Dear God, I am a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. Come into my life and save me. Thank you for saving me. Maybe you did that today. You invited Christ into your heart for the very first time. If the Lord would lay it on your heart, I challenge you to come forward and let us know. Take me by the hand and say, Kenny, I prayed to receive Christ for the first time today, and I need to let you know. Maybe today you're a Christian and you just feel like you're running out of breath. Maybe it's time to stop complaining, stop griping, and to praise God for who He is and what He's done in your life already. I invite you to come to focus on God. Lord, this is all about You today. So Jesus, come. Move in spirit and truth. We pray in Your name. Amen. Would you stand as we praise the Lord today?